What's up, sunshine? Welcome to the show. I'm Coy Wire on this glorious Friday. We have a huge show today, a high-stakes meeting between the world's two biggest superpowers. FIFA announces a halftime show featuring BTS, Shakira, and Madonna. Let's smell the flowers and cool the soup. Your 10 minutes of news starts now. We begin in Beijing, where an historic summit is underway as part of U.S. President Donald Trump's trip to China. Chinese leader Xi Jinping was on hand yesterday to roll out the red carpet for Trump as part of a lavish welcome ceremony. The two leaders then took part in a bilateral meeting, touching on a range of key issues. Both leaders also hailed the U.S.-China relationship as the world's most consequential one.
This bond of commerce and respect that stretches back 250 years is the foundation for a future that benefits both of our nations.
Both China and the United States stand to gain from cooperation and lose from confrontation. Our two countries should be partners rather than rivals.
With all the talk of cooperation between the nations, one issue has stuck out, and it's not a new one. Every major meeting between the U.S. and China starts with a declaration about Taiwan. Taiwan is a democratic, self-governing island with its own military, currency, and constitution, and its own democratically elected government. China sees Taiwan as part of its territory, despite having never controlled it. China has long vowed to unify the island with the Chinese mainland by force if necessary. The U.S. maintains unofficial relations with Taiwan and is bound by law to provide them with defensive weapons, but has remained intentionally ambiguous on whether they would intervene in the event of a Chinese attack. President Xi issued a stark warning to the U.S. early in the summit, saying if the issue is, quote, mishandled, it could strain relations between the U.S. and China or even lead to conflict. This summit is also unique because Trump isn't just traveling with members of his cabinet. He's accompanied by some of the biggest names in tech. We're talking Elon Musk, Apple CEO Tim Cook, and NVIDIA chief Jensen Huang, who came to, quote, pay respects and build business. Trump and Xi are concluding the summit today with a working lunch before the American delegation departs for the White House. Now to something you have to see, a rescue for some family and friends while vacationing in the Bahamas. The U.S. Coast Guard and Air Force saved the day for 11 people after their plane crashed into the Atlantic Ocean. The passengers were traveling between islands in the Bahamas and were found in life rafts about 80 miles off the coast of Florida. The pilot had reported an in-flight emergency. After the crash landing, an emergency locator beacon helped rescuers track their location. R. Reed Binion has more.
It's just another day at work, another day of training, but this time instead of training, it was real world.
A U.S. Air Force captain recounting the moments of a rescue at sea after a small private plane carrying 11 people crash landed in the Atlantic east of Florida.
And you could tell just by looking at them that, you know, they were in distress physically, mentally, emotionally.
According to the FAA, the Beechcraft BE-30 Super King Air 300 took off from Marsh Harbor in the Bahamas, bound for Grand Bahama International Airport. Rescue teams said when the plane went down, the emergency locator beacon sent out a warning. The U.S. Coast Guard and Air Force sent teams in, including an HC-130 rescue aircraft, which was on a training mission nearby.
We got notification from Tower that there was a possible downed aircraft. We set up a search pattern, and within minutes we located the raft.
The survivors had been in that life raft for 5 hours.
As a fixed-wing pilot, we trained to that, but I've not known anyone to survive ditching in the ocean.
Rescuers dropped 2 more rafts and more survival equipment. Pararescue teams jumped in the water to help the survivors. The Coast Guard said all 11 people who had been on the crashed plane were successfully rescued. They were flown to Melbourne, Florida, and checked into the hospital.
For all those people to survive is pretty miraculous, and then get in the raft all together.
Pop quiz, hot shot, which country once lost a war to emus? Canada, New Zealand, Australia, or South Africa? If you guessed Australia, walla be darned. In 1932, Australian soldiers were sent to deal with massive groups of crop-destroying emus. Let's just say the birds didn't exactly take the L. The emus outran, outmaneuvered them, and became legends in one of history's most comical wars. An Australian court just ordered one of the largest compensation payouts in the country's history. Fortescue, one of the world's largest iron mining companies, was ordered to pay 150 million Australian dollars, that's about 108 million US dollars, to compensate the Yindjibarndi indigenous people after operating on their land without permission. The company's mining operations blocked access to more than 52 square miles of culturally significant land with mines, railways, and dumping sites. Even though Fortescue's operations had government approval, the court found the Yindjibarndi people were never properly consulted. Fortescue says it accepts the ruling and agrees the community deserves compensation for cultural loss. Next up, teamwork makes the dream work, especially at one of the U.S. Naval Academy's messiest, most legendary traditions, the annual Monument Climb. Freshmen, known as plebes, work together to scale a 21-foot granite obelisk coated with vegetable shortening. This year, midshipman Lincoln Hedberg, son of New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill, helped place an upperclassman's cap at the top, signaling victory.
It's so loud. Everyone's screaming. Everyone's fired up. And it was just a great moment.
The class of 2029 completed the climb in 2 hours and 17 minutes. For perspective, the fastest climb ever recorded took just 20 minutes back in 1975. The slowest, more than 4 hours in 1998. Either way, that's a whole lot of slipping, sliding, and squad goals. The climb marks the symbolic end of the plebe year and probably the beginning of several extra laundry cycles. The World Cup is right around the corner, and while we don't yet know who will be playing in the final, we do know halftime is about to get a lot more funky. For the first time ever, the FIFA World Cup final will feature a halftime show. Think Super Bowl, but make it soccer. Coldplay's Chris Martin, who's curating the show, unveiled the star-studded lineup with the help of some Sesame Street and Muppets footy fans, and one just seems particularly amped.
Madonna, Shakira, BTS!
That's right, we're talking Latin music superstar Shakira, the K-pop sensation BTS, and OG pop icon Madonna. The show will benefit the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund, a nonprofit raising money for children's education. But the question lots of people are asking, how do you fit all that into the current 15-minute halftime rule? By the looks of it, FIFA may have to bend it, like Beckham. Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, one dedicated student athlete blazing trails and breaking barriers. Wheelchair athlete Sarah Flores is setting out to make history in her first ever marathon this weekend. Thousands of racers are preparing for the Corpus Christi's Beach to Bay Relay Marathon. But for Sarah, a sophomore, this event marks a major milestone.
I will be one of the first wheelchair racers to ever run Beach to Bay.
Sarah is set to take to the track in her custom-made racing wheelchair, and mom and dad could not be more proud.
If we live inclusion all the time, and so her mission and vision for Beach to Bay was inclusion.
Now, this marathon isn't even her only race this week. She's also competing in the state track and field championships. While this will be Sarah's longest race to date, dad says she is ready for the challenge.
Monday through Thursday, she's at the weight room 7 o'clock in the morning. And then she's at practice until 5 p.m.
For Sarah, this race is about more than crossing the finish line. It's about sending a message.
I want to make a difference in the community, and I also want to show people that no matter your circumstances, no matter what you go through, anything you want is possible. You just have to reach for it.
Go, Sarah, go. Time now for some Frye shout-outs. This first one goes to Coach Guzman at Glenn High School in Leander, Texas. I hear you wrapped up your AP exams last week. Congratulations. That takes grit and focus. Rise up. Next, this shout out goes to Mrs. Kircher at the Islamic School of Louisville in Kentucky. Thank you for sending these symbols of your love for sports and teamwork. We are big fans. Play that Friday music, Nadir. Now, make sure you go out, spread some joy this weekend. You never know when, where, or how, but you just may be the light someone needs. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.